the Diamond Discussions Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo. I'm Mike Caliendo. Now, before we get into anything, we promised you guys to not go on a hiatus again, and we did it again. So we apologize. listen, it's summertime, we're hanging out with our families, we had a couple of holidays mixed in there, and life, work, everything else. But we promised to get the more stuff out to you. I think this week is going to be huge. I think we're going to have a lot of stuff for you to, you know, give some time before you catch up on everything. But before we get into the main episode, if you guys, just in case you forgot, we have a trivia question to answer. So, Joe, what we got?
Absolutely. So, I hope everybody is enjoying their summer. So, this one was a little tricky. I'm not going to put it by people that not got it. So, who was the only player to hit an inside the park home run grand slam walk off? There's only one, and that's Roberto Clemente Jr. Now, this is pretty funny because the other night, Patrick Bailey for the San Francisco Giants hits a 3-run walk off inside the park home run to win a game. So that was pretty funny because he got pretty close, and we had been in the middle of actually asking the question. So while people are trying to figure out the answer to our question, he almost actually became the second player to do it. Also, earlier in the day, Lawrence Butler hit a leadoff leadoff inside the park home run. So it was a pretty wild day for inside the park home runs.
Yeah, I find it really ironic. The other funny thing was that night in particular, we were actually trying to get an episode out, and due to some issues with some service, that didn't happen. And then the next day, I remember we texted each other. It was like, yo, did you see how that Phillies-Giants game ended? And it was like, this is why we didn't record, because we had to give this out. And then, you know, this piece of history seemed to have happened.
And then almost wiped out the trivia question.
Could have, yeah. Could have. I mean, listen, Philly needed to be up one more run, and the Giants needed to have one more guy on base. And then that would have been really ironic. I mean, you can't write this stuff. You just can't.
No.
So I find that really fun. Look, we're going to... Oh, by the way, shout out Fuzzy again, because he hit me up on Twitter, and he got this right.
He was the only one.
Yeah, he got this right. This stumped a lot of people. I even just asking my friends out, work-related stuff, just asking the question, see if anybody even comes close. Eventually, with maybe a couple of hints, people have gotten the answer, but it's about as far as it goes. Hey, listen, I thought that was a really good one. It was fun because it really gets your mind going. It could literally be anybody, but very interesting. So the main point to this episode, we're going to break down, I guess, the halfway point, or the, you know, unwritten halfway point, the All-Star break. We're going to look at all the divisions. We're going to see where everybody stands. We're going to see maybe some of the big surprises of the season so far, and maybe some of the biggest disappointments. And then maybe some trade deadline stuff. But, you know, before, I mean, this has been a wild first half. I've enjoyed it. There's been other parts that haven't been all that great, especially for our teams that we root for, the Mets and Yankees. Speaking of which, listen, this was about a week ago, but I'm still going to say it. Ha ha, we took 2 out of 3 at home. The season series is now even. It means absolutely nothing like it did prior. It's an even score. You guys kicked our ass at your house, and we did the same to you at ours. So I don't really expect anything less with these two teams. They're both right around each other where it's enough that we can argue who's better and we can nitpick at everything. But realistically, these teams are very similar, and a 7-game series between these two would be wild. And hopefully we get that in a World Series matchup.
That would be something else, because I would be able to handle it.
No.
I'd be going nuts. I'd be going nuts.
Yeah, no, I would. I don't know. I mean, just for me to witness a World Series in my lifetime, yeah, I know, I have not. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. It would be pretty wild if the first one I get as a as a Met fan is the Mets beating the Yankees in a Game 7 of a World Series.
That would be pretty interesting.
That would make up for the 32 years that I have not seen a World Series, honestly.
And then I'd be in a mental institution, and you can come in visit me.
Listen, so, you guys broke my heart in 2000. I was a kid. I didn't deserve that, you know. So I don't want to hear it. It is what it is.
Sometimes, you know, children suffer when you're trying to achieve
goals. Well, now adult you could suffer if this happens. So let's talk that into existence and get things going. But I want to take a look at your boys. We just, you know, we're talking about them. The AL East overall. I mean, did you expect to see this standings, Mark, to go into the All-Star break?
Not Toronto, to be honest with you. I didn't see them coming on like this. You know, they won 10 in a row at one point. I think they've won 11 of 12. And now, on top of that, you got Boston.
Yeah, Boston's starting to heat up.
So they're trying to, you know, get on people's backs now and get back in this race.
They're in it.
Tampa fell off.
Yeah.
And the Yankees have been kind of like falling off the mountain, climbing up, and then falling off, and then climbing up. They've kind of been in the middle. Mm-hmm. Two games out. I'm not really concerned. Two games is two games. You can make that up. Did I like what happened when they got swept four games in a row? Absolutely not. We already discussed that. That was brutal. Unacceptable. But I got to say, with all the injuries and how we've played, you know, it's been a little bit inconsistent, to be honest with you. I got to like where we stand. So being where we're at, 10 games over 500, I'm not really concerned. Do I see Toronto really pouring it on the second half? Maybe their offense is pretty good. I'm more worried about Boston. I think Boston is something to look at here because they could keep it up. Yeah. I think they have the team to keep it up. If I had to pick between the two, I don't think Tampa, I don't think Tampa's going to make much of a run.
No, I think they're going to stay around 500 at best.
Yes, me too.
I think they're going to eventually become a late seller towards the end of the, you know, leading up to the deadline. They really cooled off big. The last 10, they're 2-8 in their last 10 games, and they lost 4 in a row going into this break. The Red Sox are the hottest team in the division, like you mentioned there. They won 10 straight. Mm-hmm. They've completely put themselves right back in the middle of this. Like you said, they're three games out of the division lead here. They're right in the mix for the wild card now. So, I mean, you know, listen, they're a game behind the Yankees for the top wild card spot, and I think they're a game up on Seattle for the last spot. So, you know, they're right in the middle of it now. And, you know, a lot of – we've spoken about it, potential trade deadline pieces coming out of Boston. I might have mentioned it on here or not. I would love the idea of the Mets going after Aroldis Chapman, obviously not to be the closer, but to get that premier lefty that could strike guys out. And, you know, that's what they need after they lost Minter. So I think that would have been a huge pickup. But, you know, now that Boston's done what they've done, unless they completely collapse coming out of the break, you know, leading up to the deadline – they're right in the mix of things, but there's been a lot of weird rumors with them. They're talking about potentially moving on from Bregman, which I don't see. I think they want to get a deal done there. You know, so I mean, to move on from Bregman would be wild, but they want to go all in with pitching. So if that eventually does happen and their lineup can somehow sustain things, they could be there. They could still, you know, they could be right in the middle of where they are. Look, we have a couple of Red Sox fans as friends, and you know, they've been writing them off. And I said, wait, just hold on. Let's see.
Complaining about the pitching. Yeah. They're always complaining about the pitching, which is understandable. I've seen it. You know, obviously I'm a fan of the Yankees. I follow the AL East, you know, a little more. But if Boston adds a starter, a frontline starter, they're going to be scary. And I think they're just a little bit more well-rounded than Toronto. So I see them getting that wild card spot. If the Yankees could make a move, a substantial move. I'm not talking about a mid-level move. They have to go get a guy. And when I say a guy, Eugenio Suarez, Merrill Kelly, they have to make a splash. And okay. I think there's a lot of pressure on Cashman right now because he actually came out and said, you know, we're going to really go after this and we're all in. So you can't say that if you're not all in and go get mid-level guys. So yeah. Suarez has to be on the table. I don't think they're going to go after Gallen. I do think it's Merrill Kelly. The reason why I say Kelly, 2 years of control.
Yeah.
If you go after Gallen, that's prospects you're giving up.
Yeah.
The Yankees aren't going to do that because now you'll be depleted and you can't make another move. I think they could pull off a move for Suarez and Kelly in one trade.
That's possible. Yeah,
one absolutely. Trade. You send a couple definitely of prospects. Possible. Maybe Dominguez? I don't know. I'm a little nervous about what it would take, because I'm not too sure, but I think you could swing it. anybody else, big time guys, I don't see them really making a move. I don't think Spencer Jones is going to get moved. Obviously, George Lombard's not going to get moved.
I think
moved.
He's off the table completely.
Yeah, and I think Jones too. He's playing too well in AAA right now. Unless they go after a monster name where it takes a guy like Jones. I think Sandy Alcantara is off the table. I think that's more...
That's going to be an off-season move.
That, you know what? No.
Not even for the Yankees.
Sox. I can see the Red Sox going after him.
If he's cheap, I don't like it. I don't trust it. I don't like it.
I see what you're saying, but I could see it happening.
Well, the Red Sox are linked right now, from what I'm understanding, is they're, I don't want to say all in, but it seems their attention, and this is unfortunate because this is the guy I want the Mets to go after, and I'm not really looking to go into another, you know, pitching prospect bidding war like the Mets sort of did with the Crochet sweepstakes in the offseason.
Right.
But my guy for the Mets would be Joe Ryan, and that seems to be the...
Who's Boston's
the,
on.
The biggest fish for Boston going into this deadline, so...
Now, it's interesting. Who's going to drive the price up on that? Is it going to be the Mets, or is it going to be Boston?
I think it's just going to be if the Mets really want him, they go for him. I don't know. They're not really linked to him. I haven't really heard, but... They're linked to some other guys, you know, bullpen pieces out of Minnesota, so that could be on the table. But we'll expand on that, you know, maybe a little later on. But I mean, the Red Sox, Ryan, if that happens, depending on what they give up and the way their offense looks right now, I mean, they're right behind the Yankees for runs scored in the division and pretty much all of baseball. They're towards the top, so their offense has been good. The Yankees actually have the second highest run differential in all of baseball.
And that's an amazing point that you bring up, because I was going to bring that up after you were done. It's amazing to me how they're not in first.
Yeah. And Toronto's is only a plus 17. I know Michael Kay took a lot of flack because he sort of, the way he presented it, he just doesn't present things well. And then he goes on the defense of, you know, you're misinterpreting how I'm saying it. Well, no, you come off a certain way sometimes. And, you know, him and the other announcer from Toronto had a little back and forth about it. But basically what Michael Kay's point was that the run differential with Toronto makes no sense in how they're in first place.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
Their run differential is only plus 17.
That's crazy.
And they're two games up on the Yankees. The Yankees is plus 111. That's nuts.
Which is amazing, because that means before this run, they were negative runs.
Yeah.
In the run differential department, which is wild. So it took two good weeks of baseball for them to jump over two teams. It was Tampa and the Yankees.
Well, Tampa completely melted down.
Right. The last 2 weeks, they've been bad. And their bullpen has been brutal.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be a buyer.
No, I think if they continue like this, another week of this, and it's over.
They're not going for it.
There's going to be a team that's going to open up, obviously, after the All-Star break, and probably light the league on fire. Now, could it be Boston that continues what they were doing? Maybe. We'll throw our prediction towards the end of the episode into that. But listen, the AL East is, honestly, outside of Baltimore completely going catatonic this season, it's right around where you and me predicted.
Right.
All teams except for Baltimore are above 500. The funny thing is, Baltimore has been playing very well over the last few weeks. They've made up some ground, just at least catching back up to 500. But all teams are right there. You and I both kind of agreed that we could see this division being all teams at five or above 500. So, and that's, listen, if Baltimore continues to stay hot, which, listen, I doubt. I don't think that was all that bold. We didn't see Baltimore being the big disappointment of the division.
No, and we were mad about their offseason, that they weren't aggressive. But we didn't think they were going to be bad. We thought their offense was going to be a lot better, and it just hasn't. We knew that their pitching was going to be a problem because they really didn't address their starting pitching or their bullpen. And now they may be getting rid of like a guy like Felix Batista. He may be on the block. So
Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn, a lot of guys. Some other bullpen pieces could be put out there. So that's going to be interesting. Starting pitcher-wise, I don't really know. Are they going to part ways with Sagano? I mean, I doubt it.
Is he really drawing that much interest?
Probably not.
I don't think so. I really don't.
A cheap back-end type of guy? I mean, maybe. I wouldn't mind it. I don't hate it. I don't hate the idea of it. Just that can't cost you all that much. You know, the starting pitching. I mean, and what? Eflin?
Yes, he's another piece.
Eflin's going to draw interest, but it's really more their offensive pieces. They're going to be more expendable. Like I said, Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I can see those guys definitely going.
Yeah. Oh, Mullins, yeah. The offensive bats. Yeah. Yeah. They're because they're expiring contracts. So
Houston has been linked to Mullins.
Yeah. I know there's been chatter about maybe the Mets going after that. I don't know. Not a move I don't hate. Listen, the offense.
Need an outfielder though.
Center fielder Tyrone Taylor has been struggling a little.
Offensively, yeah.
Defense, he's been a wizard, but we've had.
And that's what you kind of need in the playoffs is defense. But if you can get Mullins, then
I'm not saying get rid of Taylor, but but they're gonna get Siri back at some point. We think before the season ends too. So his defense is gonna be on the table. So we'll see how that plays. But if we can, guys, look in the comment section. We bother you guys for this. It helps push the algorithm on Spotify and Apple. Just throw a comment out there. We want to hear what your guys' thoughts is so far in the AL East. We're going to ask about every division. Where do you see things playing out? I'm sure all Yankee fans are going to say, the Yankees got this. They're going to overtake Toronto. Listen, on paper right now, both teams are pretty even, in my opinion. I think it's going to come down to what they do at the deadline.
So, me too. And I think if the Yankees could get a guy like Kelly and Suarez, that'll really put them over the top, yeah. I think. Because then you insert him in the middle of the lineup, and that's scary. That's a scary lineup.
It could be.
Because they need a right-handed power bat. So. Yeah.
We are definitely going to break that down further, especially with the Mets. We are going to be giving you guys another episode along the lines of more in-depth to the first half for both the Mets and Yankees and the trade targets. We're going to touch on it a little now, and we're really going to dive into it in another episode. So that might be your next listen. So, guys, look out for that. If we can move on to the Central, this is kind of a runaway job at this point. You had this pegged. I did not. I tried to think a little more outside the box, and I just truthfully did not trust Detroit's offense, and they have completely proven me wrong. Their offense has been great. Their pitching staff has been honestly pretty solid overall. The Tigers have an 11.5 game lead going into the All-Star break in the Central. They're running away with this.
And I don't see anybody coming close to catching them, honestly.
No, because now at this point, these teams are going to be sellers. The White Sox are obviously, they're not in it. The Guardians are, they're 12 games out. The Royals are 12 games out, and the Twins are 11.5. So
biggest disappointment is Kansas City.
Yeah, I think we both had them making the playoffs. I had 100%. Them winning, what is it? I had the Twins, I think, winning
the
division.
You had the Twins, but Kansas City as one of your wild card teams.
Yeah, I did. Look, my reasoning even with the Twins, it was strictly on the fact that they stay healthy. They have the talent. Just stay healthy. Buxton has been healthy, and he has been one of the best outfielders in baseball. He's been fantastic, as he normally is when he's on the field. But, just the rest of them haven't really put it together. Pablo Lopez has been on and off the IL. He's out for right now a decent amount of time. They're talent-wise just very disappointing to me. I wish that team could just put it together. I really do. Buxton might be on the move. Minnesota might look to deal
him. That's crazy because they had the same type of run that Detroit did. Kansas City last year. So you thought that was going to follow up into this year, which I thought 100% they were going to. But it just never panned out so far in the first half. The fact that they're 12 out is uncanny.
Their pitching has been pretty decent. Their lineup's been a bit of a disappointment. Bobby Witt is not repeating what he did last year, unfortunately. His stats are definitely down, but... he's still one of the premier shortstops or players in baseball, and it's just unfortunate. I think they need a little more help on offense. Maybe that's something they look into in the offseason to maybe get themselves back into the column here, because they have a nice young team. So again, they have Lugo, who's I believe an expiring deal. Maybe they can get something decent for him. He's been one of the best pitchers in the American League. Who could, obviously I've heard a reunion with the Mets potentially with him, but I have my, I gave you who the guy I have my heart eyes for, and that's Joe Ryan. So I wouldn't be disappointed with Lugo. I think that'd be a nice,
I just don't think Kansas City's going to add.
No, they're not. They got to
add a free agent.
I would say they look to next year. That's their biggest thing. And try
they don't spend money.
No, they don't. And they got to try to catch maybe lightning in a bottle with a few offensive pieces next year. A Ryan O'Hearn would be maybe a nice piece for them. I don't know if he fits in with their dynamic right now at first base and DH.
Marcelo Ozuna is another guy.
Ugh, I know. Send him to Japan.
But he's another right-handed bat that someone could use maybe in the DH slot.
Yeah.
A lot of
options. But the Central, look, it's almost boring. Now we're just looking at the rest of those teams to see what they do with the deadline, who they move on from. If our teams are the ones dealing with them, there's a couple of nice pieces in there that could bold both of our teams pretty well, coming out of the Central. Like I said, the Twins, the Royals, the Guardians, and the White Sox. Just because their records are bad, doesn't mean they don't have talent and useful pieces for, playoff-pushing teams. So we'll see how this all shakes out.
And Cleveland. They're looking to get rid of Class A, so...
Yeah, I've heard his name.
The Phillies have been jumping around, flirting around with him, so...
Phillies got to make a... They got to lock down a closer. I think
they need something.
Unfortunately, that's a potential perfect fit, and I hate the idea of it, obviously, but that's not off the table.
Think the Guardians are going to get a ton.
Yeah, he's got a couple more years of control.
A ton.
Yeah, they're going to. He's been a little disappointing this year, but it doesn't take away the fact that he's one of the best relievers in baseball.
And they need something.
And he had a historic season last year. We've mentioned this in previous episodes. So
I don't think they have a choice, Philly.
They got to make a big move. They have to make a big move in the bullpen, so that's going to be fun. Maybe. even going on to the West, this is a little tighter, but even that, it's not out of reach, but... It's getting close. Houston.
I would have never guessed this.
Houston at the top, and they got a 5-game lead over the Mariners. You and I had I believe you had Texas winning the division. I had Houston.
I did.
But I also had Texas as a playoff team, and they're a game under 500. The thing with Texas is now we brought up to you earlier with Toronto and the run differential with the Yankees. They're a game under 500, and they're plus 47 on the run differential, which is wild.
It's their offense. They're not scoring. No. Not scoring. And they're not going to be buyers either.
They're going to be sellers. I don't know how big they're going to go. Are they going to sell off the Grom type, or are they going to go more the expiring Adolis Garcia, things like that?
Yeah, I could see that. Okay. I think they're going to keep the Grom. They're paying the Grom. He's been doing fine. I don't see... DeGrom getting moved. I really don't. I don't think the package is going to be too much. They're going to ask too much, and other teams aren't going to respond with big packages for a guy who's been hurt a lot. So I know he's been healthy this year. Thank God. It's great for baseball, but I don't think teams are going to bite. I really don't.
Nah, I don't either. The Athletics could be interesting. They're at the bottom. They're unfortunately in the basement. The Angels, I don't want to say they're hanging around. I mean, listen, they're 9 games out, 2 games under 500, and their differential, they're minus 62.
And a team like Seattle, they have to convince me. I'm not convinced. I'm really not.
They need offense.
They need offense.
Seattle needs offense.
They've needed offense since 2020.
Yeah.
And they don't address it.
It's crazy because, I'm looking at this wild card right now in the AL, and... The Rangers and the Angels, now I don't think the Angels have the talent to do it. The Rangers do. They're 3.5 games out of the last wild card spot. If they hit the ground running post All-Star break, they could, potentially be in the mix. I mean, listen, Boston just won 10 straight. I'm not trying to say Boston is his bottom seller team. I had them winning the division, but you can't tell me that the talent that Texas has, that they can't go on a nice little run right before the deadline and get themselves really in the mix of this.
And everybody was worried about the pitching.
Yeah.
It's the offense that was supposed to be, fueling the fire.
Simeon has been a major disappointment. Seager.
Super inconsistent.
Yeah, Seager has been, very disappointing to me. Langford also had some time on the shelf. He was supposed to be, obviously a premier piece in their offense, and he's a couple of stints on the IL. nothing crazy, but listen, this is one of your young star players that, you know, not in your lineup consistently. It's going to hurt you. So this could be very interesting. I mean, even Minnesota, as much as I don't want them to, because again,
they're only four out.
I'm eyeing their team, man. I'm eyeing them down. I mean, even Kansas City, they're not technically out of it. They're only 4.5 games out.
See, but you know what? If these teams start making deals, like, for example, if Minnesota gives up Joe Ryan, you can forget the wild card. It's done.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. See you later with that one.
I mean, look, to me, the teams that I look at that are almost automatic, whether they're in or out, it's really Kansas City down, but they are right in the mix of things. I mean,
they are.
Detroit sold off last year, and they made it to the playoffs. They sold off Flaherty to the Dodgers. They turned it around. They got hot at the right time, you know, mid August to run out the season. So that's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, maybe one of these teams like to duplicate that. Maybe Kansas City is, you know what, you did it last year, why not us? Even Minnesota.
That's very possible.
You know, anything could happen. We still have a ton of baseball to go. So a four-game absence outside of the wild card spot or even a divisional spot does not mean you're out of it. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. Everything's going to be rumors. We're obviously going to know more come the week of the deadline. You know, then we're really going to see it. Or the first reliever domino to go. That's coming, I feel like, soon. I feel like we might get something this weekend just because, you know, teams maybe to be, you know, executives could be over there. It's the All-Star break. Teams are going to talk. So we'll see how this plays out. But the AL is very interesting going into this wild card because as much as it's wide open, I mean, outside of the Central, to me, and maybe the West, I mean, any one of these teams could really go on a run and really shake things up. But we'll see what these teams do. I mean, what does Houston do? Who do they add? What does Toronto add? What does Detroit add?
It's funny that you mentioned Houston. I don't think they do anything, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they do a thing.
I think they're in the market. They, like you said, they linked to Cedric Mullins.
That's it. They haven't been really out there when it comes to pitching or another bat. They're going to get Alvarez back. Do they need to really go crazy? I don't think so.
No. But, you know, listen, they could always the fact that the AL not necessarily is wide open, but it sort of is. I mean, teams are establishing themselves now. Like I said, Detroit. Somebody's going to fall off here. Who's it going to be? Toronto, Boston, Seattle. Which one of these teams?
If you want to go by reputation, Seattle and Toronto.
I mean, yeah, that's probably the safer of the two. So then, you know, who potentially jumps them? Does Tampa go on a little run? Do they find their lightning in a bottle? Is it Texas? Is it the Angels? The Twins? The Royals? Who could it be? Guys, in the comment section, what do you guys think? Who's maybe your team that is starting to look half dead? Who do you think is going to make a run? Who do you think is going to be maybe the second half surprise? Because we've already gotten a couple first half surprises, you know, with some of the teams that have, you know, played well and some that have underperformed. So who's going to be the second half? Who is it out of the AL? Joe, what do you got? You got a pick there?
Yeah, I have Texas.
Texas making a run, yeah?
Yeah.
Listen, they got the talent. That's not a bad pick.
Because they have the starting pitching, and their bullpen's been formidable. So yeah. If their offense can figure it out and they score some runs, they got the guys.
Yeah. They have what they have.
I mean, if they keep Garcia or not, we'll see. But there's other guys on that team that could produce. So
absolutely.
If they can make a run offensively, I think the pitching stays the same. They should be fine.
Yeah.
And if Seattle doesn't do anything, then
Seattle has to get a bat.
That last space is up for grabs. That last spot.
You know what? I'm kind of rooting for Seattle to kind of finish
turn around and finally figure it out.
Finish it strong. Get into the mix. See what happens. I mean, you got an MVP candidate in Cal Raleigh. Get him some exposure. Let this team play. You know, I mean, this guy's having a miraculous season. You know, get these guys. That's wrong. I know they're in the playoff picture because they're in. They're the third wild card. But go get a bat. Go compliment what you have.
And don't half-ass it like you did last year with Justin Turner.
No. But, I mean, J-Rod is a second-half type player. He hasn't really had a great first half, so listen, get somebody to compliment. Give Raleigh and J-Rod a little protection out there. I mean, Jorge Polanco has been solid for them, too.
Yeah.
He's been a bit of a surprise. So, I mean, that's who I'm rooting for there. But I do like Texas. I mean, you can't go against them. They have the talent.
And Seattle's in the mix for Suarez, too, to play third. So
that would be huge
for again, them. Go prove it. Show me you want to win. They do go this every year, Mike.
Go make a deal.
2 weeks before the season ends, they're usually right there for a while.
A game or
and
two.
They just can't get over the hump.
Yeah.
Because they don't have enough firepower offensively. So, is a guy like Luis Castillo still on the table? We don't know.
They've had some pitching blows.
Because
so
think
not.
About it. But you don't have to give up a prospect.
Yeah.
Keep the prospects. You give up, you know, major league talent. And maybe you get a big piece in return. So, that's something that we haven't really been talking about. Is Castillo going to stay?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We'll see how this plays out. But we're going to go on to the NL. And listen, the NL East is...
Same thing as the AL. Maybe not as competitive. It's just a two-team race right now.
It's more surprising that the Braves have been as bad as they were. You and I did not have them in the playoffs, and we got a lot for it. A lot of people yelling at us, are you out of your mind, this and that. We gave you our reasons, and here we are. Neither one of us expected them to be this bad. I mean, they started the season, what, 0-7, 0-8?
0-8.
They had the Profar suspension, Strider off the IL, on the IL. Acuna's come back. He's looked good. He's looked very good. But he's now, I think he's got, he took himself out of the Derby, right? Back stiffness, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a great sign. Or maybe it was just like, Braves went to him and said, "Hey, you kidding? Like you've been out for a year. You're doing the Derby? No, rest. You need rest.
He does. He needs it.
Regardless, the team is they're not making a run. They're out of it. I'm sorry, Atlanta's out of it. They're 9 games under 500.
Miami's in third. That's wild.
Yeah,
I would have never saw that coming. Honestly,
no, I expected more from Washington. I think we both did. They have a plethora of young talent. Just the Soto trade alone." The three guys they have at the helm of James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, all have been great.
Well, the last 6 weeks, they're the worst team in baseball.
They've been bad.
Washington's been horrible.
Yeah. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They have 102 run differential. And
yeah,
they
minus 102.
Are 20 games under 500.
Miami is minus 55 in third place, and Atlanta's plus 2 in fourth place. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You know, Atlanta, they're not giving up a lot of runs, but they're not scoring a lot of runs.
It's very even.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about teams at the top here. You know, they're at 450. The Tigers, their run scored this year, they're 482.
Right.
The Braves are at 388.
It's amazing.
And, that's crazy.
But this is a two-team division. This is Mets.
It's turned into it. You know, listen, it would have been fun. With a three-team race, it would have been more maybe gut-wrenching. But, you know, I had said this. Again, you've been on the same page with a lot of this, but this is going to be a street fight till the end. Phillies, mm-hmm. Mets now. I don't really see the Marlins obviously making a run at anything.
No.
Mets are a half game out of first place. This is going to be a street fight till the end, and honestly, it could come down to who makes the better move at the deadline. And that doesn't necessarily mean the biggest name. It's just sometimes you get these guys. I mean, this was brought up. This was brought up to me a few days ago. We all remember this. Obviously, the Braves a few years ago. Adam Duvall, Jorge Soler, and Eddie Rosario carried them to a World Series.
Absolutely.
I can go back with the Mets in 2015. Yeah, the big sexy thing was Yoenis Cespedes, who had one of the greatest second halves to a season that we've ever seen, especially coming off a trade. But other huge pieces in that. That trade deadline was they picked up Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe, Tyler Clippard was another one. They picked up some nice pieces that fit their team and role players that did what they had to do. So, like you're saying, the Yankees with Suarez, I'm sitting here throwing out Joe Ryan. Like, those are the big sexy names, obviously. It's those other ones, those other deals that you're going to catch lightning in a bottle from maybe some of these role players that maybe get added on. And maybe not the big name that everybody's talking about, you know, that's going to go under. Zach Allen, for example.
Right.
I feel like he gets moved, change of scenery, middle of a push. I think he's going to completely turn his season around. To me, he's the guy that's going to have, out of everybody that gets dealt, I think he's going. And if he does, I think he's going to have one of the biggest impacts going into down the stretch in these pennant pushes. So
absolutely. Excuse me, I'm dying. So Gallen, his last three starts have been very good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be a lot, prospect wise.
I mean, he's an expiring deal. He's just a big name. If you attach him to a Haniel Suarez deal, if they go together, or is a team really that crazy to maybe say, you know what, let Suarez go wherever he goes? And what if a team looks and says, you know what, we want Kelly and Gallen in the same deal? That would be an epic trade for maybe whoever does something like that. They have a couple of bullpen pieces that haven't been awful that we'll see if get dealt. But the East is going to be interesting. I mean, like we mentioned, the Phillies, they need a bullpen piece. Is Bautista the guy that goes over to Philly? Maybe.
I don't know. I think it's going to be either Class A or Duran.
Class A, another
one?
Yeah,
I think
Duran's another one they've been linked to.
Yeah.
They need a closer because, you know what? Yeah, they're going to get Alvarado back, but the suspension, he cannot play in the playoffs.
Nope.
So they need a solid arm in the bullpen, a high leverage type guy. Do they go after a lefty completely? Do they go after two guys? Get a lefty and a righty and somebody that, rounds it out? Do they maybe go by committee?
I don't think it's more of a...
If they don't get the big name.
Yeah, I don't think it's more of a right-handed, left-handed thing for them. I think it's pieces.
Yeah.
So, for example, they got their setup guy. They have their middle relief. They need a legit closer. So, I think it doesn't matter who it is. Lefty, righty, whatever it is.
They're going to take what they can get.
They got to get a closer. A true, solid closer. That's what they need. They don't need a bat. They don't. They need pitching.
And, I mean, the Mets, listen, they're sort of getting that deadline acquisition type back from injury. They got Benaiah back last game before the break. He looked great. He came in relief to Clay Holmes. He pitched 3 1/3, I believe it was. He ended up surrendering the walk-off hit they lost the final game of the series in Kansas City. But, I mean, he struck out 7 in 3 1/3. He went through a stretch. He struck out 6 in a row, I believe. And he looked exactly where he picked up from last year. So that's going to be a huge addition, for the Mets, for this team. They need this guy. Senga also came back 2 days prior. That's huge. The Mets needed starting pitching in the worst way. They've been playing with this team up, down, sending this guy. He's going to open. They're going to do this. They were very, they weathered the storm for the most part because they really started to look out of it at some point, and they brought things back. But you needed that stopper. They got Senga. They got Manaea. Those could be your two stoppers now. I think they got to compliment them. Go get somebody. They lost Canning for the season. That was obviously unfortunate. Blackburn, he's been hurt again. He hasn't looked right. That experiment might not be all that great. So, I mean, there was a few weeks ago that teams were talking about maybe trading for Blackburn. And now, the Mets would almost be desperate to have him. So, I think they need another top-of-the-line guy. I think a 1-2-3, and that's why my dream is Joe Ryan.
I don't blame you. You really do need another piece pitching-wise. My question is this. If the Mets do get a piece for the pitching rotation, does that mean Clay Holmes goes back to the bullpen?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
McGill has been kind of the guy to me that might be the odd man out. I know he's also hurt, but I could see maybe that being a thing. Maybe a long relief type situation. I mean, come playoff time, I don't think McGill would be, at least right now, I don't see him in that starting mix. I think he's more out of the bullpen, mop-up type of situation, or if maybe just one of your guys gets into trouble with a high pitch count. I think that's where McGill fits into the playoff push, at least. So I want another guy. I want another starter. They need a lefty as well. They absolutely need a lefty in the bullpen.
For the pen? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Losing Minter was not devastating, but it also came down. Danny Young got hurt. All their lefties seem to be getting hurt. Raley's, come back, but do we trust it? He's coming off the Tommy John surgery. They need a high leverage lefty reliever. That's what they need to go out and do. That's where I'm at with that. I don't know what I prioritize more, though. The rotation or the bullpen. It looks, it's a little easier to say, listen, with Senga and Manaea back, you could maybe kind of pivot more to the bullpen and make that your main focus, or at least get that deal done first and then address starting pitching later on. And you know what? I wouldn't mind another bat. Maybe just get something in there, because the bottom half, nothing crazy. I'm not saying go out and get Suarez. There's really no room for him. They don't need that. I just need almost like a Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe 2015 Met type of move. I need something along that lines, a solid bench piece, a guy that could come in and start, multiple utility guy. So, you know, that, again, I'll dive into that a little deeper. We got a whole other episode that we'll talk about the Mets and the Yankees. But, I mean, that's the overall roundup with us with the East. And that's really where it is. It's going to be Mets-Phillies, and it's going to be a street fight.
Absolutely.
So we'll see how this plays out. But, guys, and listen.
The Central.
Yeah, the Central is it's heating up. It's heating up.
St. Louis hasn't really gone away either.
No, they're not out of it. I mean, they're 6.5 out of the division lead, but they are right in the middle of this playoff push in the wild card. So, to me, that is the surprise team for me out of the National League. The Cardinals have been... I had them in the cellar.
They're a game and a half out of the wild card. I mean, but they're not going to be buyers, which is funny to me. I think they're going to ride it out with whatever they have. And I don't think Ryan Helsley gets dealt. I think he's going to stay there.
Yeah, that's if they stay the course. Listen, the next week and a half for St. Louis is going to be or break. It's going to be huge.
Somebody pulls them away with a package for Helsley.
But now, I mean, look at St. Louis. If they went on a Red Sox type run to open up the All-Star break, how do you sell? If they, let's say, come out and win 10 in a row,
you can't
go 9-1, 8-2.
You can't.
They're going to be premier in the middle of that. They're game and a half out.
You're talking about they'll be in the talks for the division.
I mean, look at Milwaukee over the last couple of weeks. Not that they were dead in the water, but
Milwaukee is a team I could see.
Nobody had. Listen, you and me did not have Milwaukee making the playoffs. Pissed off our buddy Brew Crew, Ben.
True.
Sorry
about that, Ben.
Listen, we gave our reasons why. We spoke with him, you know, outside of it. He's a huge content creator for the Brewers. He covers them intensely. And, you know, he's taught us a lot about Milwaukee because we don't really follow them like that. Obviously, you guys made the move for Devin Williams and stuff. But the ins and outs of that organization, he was very confident. And I see why. This team did go on a run. They do have a guy that, when healthy, is fully capable. Christian Yelich has been a lot better than expected, at least in my opinion.
And their pitching has been phenomenal.
And they just brought up the kid Mizorowski.
Yep.
In five games, this kid looks amazing.
Chicago had an 8-game lead? 9-game lead?
Yeah, at one point, yeah.
It's one.
Yeah. Milwaukee has put themselves right in the middle of this. They're the top team in the wild card. They're +4 in the wild card spot. The Mets are a game and a half behind them. You know, they've leapfrogged the Mets. They're right there with Chicago now. I was almost hoping, you know, I moved off of it because, listen, this is where the Brewers are now. I was hoping the Brewers would fall off a little bit because my biggest prize out of that was I wanted Freddy Peralta for the Mets.
Right.
I thought that would have been fantastic.
Another name off the table.
And now
they're in contention.
They're right in the middle of everything, you know, and they were almost written off. They were headed that way and then got hot. Their offense looks good. They blew the doors off the Dodgers. I mean, they've been beating good teams. It's not like they're just going through the weak part of their schedule. Some of it has been.
I had Cincinnati to win the division. They're 2.5 out of a wild card.
I mean, divisional-wise, I don't know if they're really going to make a run there. I still can see them sneaking into the playoffs.
Yes, as a wild card. Division,
I really can.
The Cubs are too good, and I think Milwaukee is just better than Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati's only 2.5 games out.
Right.
They're 3 games above .500. They're right in the middle of this. They're going to go out. What are they going to go do?
Maybe they'll say.
You know, nobody's talking about some of these teams that are right in the middle of it. St. Louis, they're strange to me. San Fran's a half game out.
And does San Diego. Do they add?
They're going to have to. I mean, realistically,
or do you just grit your teeth and go?
That's where it is. I feel like those are going to be the buyers and sellers as of now. It's really Cincinnati, St. Louis, and San Fran are the three teams out of the NL wild card that, to me, they're going to make moves.
I think if you're Cincinnati, you have to make a move. If you're the Padres or the Giants, I mean, the Giants just got Devers. What else could they possibly do offensively, you know?
Well, they have a really good bullpen.
Yes, they have a very solid bullpen. And their starting pitchers were pretty good.
They can maybe go get a starter. I mean, Verlander has been abysmal. I think it's coming to the point where maybe he's going to...
He's actually lost a lot of one- and two-run games. But no offensive support.
No offensive support. So his ERA has been great. They haven't been great. He's been serviceable, but I don't know. I'm kind of...
Definitely.
What is he, 0-7?
He's 0-7. But that should be like...
I think he's got like a 5 ERA.
I think it's somewhere in the high fours. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just not... They need another starter.
Yeah, they do.
So who do they go after? Who are they targeting? You know, listen...
That's what I'm afraid of. All these guys that are available, there's not enough teams that we're talking about that are going to drive up the price.
Yeah.
And knock a lot of teams out.
Yeah, it could really shake things up.
The Mets aren't going to be a team that gets knocked out.
No, they're going to get somebody.
They'll give the prospects. They just got to be careful about who and how many.
Yeah.
You don't want to overgive for one guy.
No, of course not.
You want to be able to give, you know, sprinkle the love around.
So I got to jump in just, I guess, to somewhat finish off the National League, and then we'll really maybe give a couple more predictions of maybe where some of these big names that are, you know, linked to trades, where they might end up. We'll maybe give that to you. But as far as the NL West goes, very disappointing for what you and I had. I mean, you and I had the Diamondbacks in the middle of this, almost like a... Almost a 1B to the Dodgers.
I had them in second.
Yeah, I had them making the playoffs. They have been very disappointing. To me, they have the talent. Obviously, they lost Corbin Burns for the season, Tommy John surgery. I think they lost, A.J. Puck, another acquisition for them, lefty out of the bullpen to injury. So, but overall, I just feel like they've had some wild games this year. I like their team. It's just, it's not working. Unfortunately, did not work. But I think, listen, they make the right moves. They could really set themselves maybe up for next season. Not so much of a rebuild or just so much of a retool. Because they have Corbin Burns under this contract.
I think it's a rebuild.
I don't know, because they got some young talent that's there. They have guys that are ready to come up.
Yeah,
they have guys that are there.
Gallen, they're young. And Kelly?
Well, Gallen, are they really going to sign him? Probably not.
No.
He's probably going to walk, so this could be the best thing. They get something in return for him. Kelly's got, what you said, 2 years left?
And they could get a lot.
That might hurt you in the long run, but it also could be they could get a lot back for that. They could get maybe a potential major league piece also with some prospects added on.
Right.
And maybe whatever they do in the bullpen. Obviously, Suarez has been linked. I would assume Josh Naylor is going to be available. He's an expiring contract. This could work out for their benefit going into next season. You know, like
if they get rid of all those guys, though, Mike, they're not competing for a division or a wild card for at least 3 years.
I wouldn't say that because Suarez is an expiring deal. Naylor is an expiring deal. Kelly's the only one. You got him for two more seasons. But and Gallen, I don't see that they would have brought back all three of them. It's also not off the table that if, let's say, Arizona dealt Gallen or Kelly or Suarez or Naylor, that they cannot re-sign these guys. It's rare, but that's not completely off the table because Naylor goes, then Arizona is going to be in the mix for a first baseman in the offseason. We covered this market, and there's really not a lot of premier first baseman. You know, we assume obviously Alonso is going to opt out of his deal. He's going to be, you know, on the table. Naylor was really, they were the only two true first basemen. And a lot of other factors to the first base market is if guys opt out of their deals, if teams sign these players to move them there. Max Muncy was another one,
right?
He had an option. You know, there's a lot of moving parts there. So who's to say Arizona's not in the market for Naylor come the offseason? Maybe. I don't think it's completely sets them back. I think they could make moves and completely retool themselves and be in the mix because they have the young talent. They have Corbin Burns locked up. You can't waste this deal. You can't. And it's unfortunate that he's having Tommy John, but...
But me personally, if they do get rid of all these guys, I don't know how competitive they're going to be. Yes, those prospects they have that they, you know, are going to call up, they may pan out. But it may take a little bit of a while to win. I don't know how good they're going to be. You give away your two and your number one, it's gonna you're going to feel that. And then you give away a left-handed first baseman bat in Josh Naylor. What are we talking about here? You're talking about Ketel Marte being alone with nobody. See you later, Suarez. Maybe Corbin Carroll sticks around. Guys like Jake McCarthy.
Carroll's not going anywhere.
Yeah, they'll stick around, but they're going to need some help.
They're going to need to
give away two-thirds of your rotation.
They're not rebuild to me. They're retool. They're retool.
That's a big retool.
It could be, but, you know, listen, we'll see how the offseason mixes up for them. You know, I mean, look, like we mentioned, the Dodgers sort of running away with this now. They got a 5.5 game lead on San Diego, 6 games out for the Giants. That's first, second, and third. And
I think the Padres need a starting pitcher.
It's funny because they were in the offseason, they were ready to deal one of these guys.
Right, but I think they need additional help. I don't know what they could do potentially for a bat. They look like they have all the ducks in a pod when it comes to the offense.
Maybe a role player. That's.
I think they need pitching. I do think they need a starter or a bullpen piece that could come in and maybe give you 2 innings.
It's funny. A lot of teams we're talking about, they're all in the market for starting pitching and bullpen.
It's going to be interesting. That's why I'm saying the price is going to be driven up a lot.
It's going to be, you know, those not so big name guys. You know, obviously, like we've mentioned, the Gallons, the Nailers, the Suarez, the, you know, the O'Hearns, like those guys that you've heard things about. Then there's those under the radar picks, like I've mentioned, the Adam Duvall's, Eddie Rosario's, Juan Uribe type trades that are going to happen. Those to me are going to be very important. I mentioned Gallon. I think wherever he ends up, I think he completely turns his season around. That's maybe where I put my money on, as far as maybe the biggest impact and maybe like kind of like the biggest surprise. I mean, this Gallon's got the talent to be one of the best.
100%. And I think he's still going to get his money in a free agency.
Of course.
Someone's going to pay him.
Someone's going to throw stupid money at him. See the Angels doing that. But
yeah, that's the potential.
I mean, look, this is where we are. I mean, as the playoff stands right now, I mean, the Mets, the Phillies, the Cubs, the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants. And technically the Cardinals and the Reds are all right there.
Right.
They're all in the mix. I mean, nothing's set in stone. You know, I mean, you would think the rest of the half of the season, two teams are coming out of the East, the Phillies and the Mets. That seems to be clear, right, unless somebody completely collapses. The Central, I mean, the Brewers really, they really surprised me. They really did. I did not have them where they are right now.
And the Cardinals, like you said, they could have one good week where they go like 6-1, and now we're talking about
they're right in the mix.
Two or three games out of
right
the first place.
And, yeah. I had them kind of at the cellar. I thought it was going to be, I thought Pittsburgh was going to be a little more young-driven to maybe get some things done, but, you know, their bullpen has been terrible. The rest, second half of their lineup has not been good. Outside of Paul Skeens, O'Neill Cruz, it's really been about it.
Right. And let me tell you something really fast. Every time I hear Pittsburgh is not going to trade Paul Skeens, I feel like they're going to trade
that just
Paul
makes Skeens. Me. Yeah, that just makes me think more and more that they're going to do it.
It keeps coming back that these reports are saying that management is not trading him, and that just means get ready. He's going to get traded somewhere. But by next year, I can see him gone. We'll get into that another time.
But that would be wild. Where would he end up? That would be crazy.
Obviously a high...
He completely changes the rotation.
A high payroll team, because you're going to have to afford him with a lot of prospects.
Not necessarily. I mean, well, he's under control for another 4 seasons.
You're going to have to give up a lot. A lot.
There are some of these teams that are maybe right then and there that could hop into that. Does Tampa rob them again?
No. I don't think they have enough. The Dodgers, to me, could give the most in a trade.
I didn't want to bring them up.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, of course they're in they would be in the mix for that. That would be that would shake up the league if Skeens obviously were to get dealt.
Yankees and Mets would have to trade everybody.
Everybody.
Single A, Double A, and half the team in Triple A.
Probably, yeah. And it still might not be enough. But all right, so we got through all the divisions. We've kind of touched on our previous picks in the offseason and where they're kind of sitting now. Not fully in depth, but enough that, you know, we're telling you guys where who we had where, and, you know, maybe some of our picks were wrong, some of our picks were right. But listen, we just got a whole second half of the season to go. But before we obviously jump, we're going to jump into a little bit of these trade deadline moves and maybe some of these predictions. How about I just throw a name at you? Let me know where you think they go.
Let's go.
Let's start off hot because he made comments about the Yankees already. Eugenio Suarez, does he fulfill this prophecy that he's just put into the air?
Yeah, I would love it. As a Yankee fan, I think they can make it work. I don't think you have to give up a ton to get just him. So it could work. Right-handed bat, power, plays okay defense, and the Yankees need more of his bat than his defense. I do think the Yankees can pull it off. I'm not being biased here.
No, I really do think
they have enough just to get him. When it comes to potentially a guy like Merrill Kelly, maybe they could package in a deal and like do a 2-for-1 type of deal. So we'll see what happens. But I do think he does go to the Yankees.
I think that's very realistic. I could see the scenario where that does happen, but I kind of like the reunion of him in Seattle, and that would be almost a perfect fit. He would give a lot of protection to that lineup.
They'd have to prove me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they would.
I'm done taking them. I've done
it. I got it.
I've said, the Mariners are going to get this guy. The Mariners are going to get this guy, and they never do it. So
yeah,
they got to prove me wrong.
That's fair. But listen, that's a completely fair point. I like that move for Seattle. I could see that being a thing. I don't think it's out of the possibility for the Yankees either. I think it's going to be those are the two teams I see him going to, unless somebody shocks me there. All right, we'll go pitcher this time. We spoke about Merrill Kelly. How about Mitch Keller? What do you think he ends up?
That's
Pittsburgh.
That's very good pitcher, solid pitcher. Another pitcher who gets the crappy end of the stick. I think he's 2-10.
He plays on Pittsburgh. He plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
But he doesn't pitch like he's 2-10.
No, he doesn't.
You know what? I could see Boston actually making a move for a guy like Mitch Keller.
Yeah, I see that.
You don't have to give up everything. You give up just enough, and you got a nice three. That's
yeah.
And you could slide Buehler back, maybe?
Yeah.
Pressure off of him.
You could throw maybe Keller at the two to complement Crochet a little bit.
True.
That's not a bad spot for him. To me, he's kind of an option for the Mets. I was about to say the Mets.
I
love that move for the Mets. I don't know how much they're going to have to give up for him. Obviously, I'm a little more in tune with the Mets minor league system as I am
right.
So far with Boston. They have a plethora of talent, though. But I do like the option with the Mets if they don't get the guy I want in Joe Ryan. And even if he's completely available. But
maybe you can give up a guy like Brett Beatty for him.
I wouldn't mind
that. One-on-for-one.
Right. He would centerpiece it.
Maybe package
another a mid-level guy or two
right.
to get that done, because Keller's got, I think, another one with 2 years of control.
Yes.
So that could be interesting. Let's see. I mean, Merrill Kelly. I mean, he's another starter. Do you see him as a Yankee? Do you see him as a package with Suarez?
It's going to be tough. I think the Yankees go more for Suarez than they go for Kelly. I know they're going to be involved. They're not going to not be involved. But I think the more realistic piece is Suarez. Now for Kelly, he's another guy that can go to Boston, that can go to the Mets. Maybe he goes to the Padres. Well, actually, no. I'm not going to say Padres. That's
in the division. Yeah,
so, no, that wouldn't happen. I don't know about the National League. You know, this is very tricky this time of year. A lot of, like, in-conference teams and in-division teams don't like trading within the division.
Yeah, some do, some don't. Miami really doesn't seem to have a concern with that too much. They've dealt with the Mets here and there. We got Brazoban from them last trade deadline. You know, so some teams really don't. And the teams that are out of it, they're just going to take the best package.
The bigger the name, it depends
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's,
so.
That's kind of, part of that. Where do I see Kelly going?
I mean, he could go to the Yankees. The Yankees could really maybe unload. Because, listen, Brian Cashman said he's all in, right? What does all in mean? I don't know. We know what we need. And he did point out, this is literally what he said. We need a third baseman, we need another starter, and we need a bullpen piece. So, if that's what you're going to say publicly, out loud, and make it known, then you got to go get those guys.
Yeah.
Whoever it is. those are the few guys that have been mentioned. But I don't know who else. You know, obviously Mitch Keller is another pitcher that you can look for. He may be the B option because he's not going to take as much prospect wise as Kelly would.
I have a really fun one.
Who's this?
Chris Sale. Does he get moved?
Ooh.
Coming off the IL, does he actually get moved?
The Braves can't ask the world of an organization to give up. You know, that's the only way it works. They have to be sensible about what they could get back for a 36-year-old, oft-injured, left-handed pitcher. That's just how it is. Yes, I can see him being moved 100%. I don't know where, though. That's tough.
That you don't see where. You don't think it's going to cost a lot to get Sale?
Yes, it is, and I think it's going to shy teams away. And Atlanta gets stuck with him. Unless maybe, again, a team like Boston makes a reunion?
That fast? I got two that kind of jumped at me a little bit. One kind of almost fits the mold of how they sort of do things. I see Toronto.
That's a good
American pick. League, I see Toronto maybe going after him. And in the National League, as crazy as this might be. No.
Who?
I like the Brewers to get him.
Ooh.
And they have a plethora of pitching, though. That's my only thing. But for some reason, I see him as a Brewer. I don't know why.
If that happens, they're going to have to give up a lot of pitching talent. And I don't know if the Brewers are going to do that. They need a bat.
They do need a bat. But that's what I'm saying. If they go ahead and maybe trade some of their pieces, pitching-wise, to go get a bat, does that open them up to maybe getting another pitcher, a guy who's been there, done that?
Yeah, it could be.
You know?
They need a third baseman, too, like the Yankees, the Brewers. So
yeah.
I could see them being in on Suarez, too.
I could see that. I had another weird one. If they're going to buy Chris Sale, Cincinnati, if he stays healthy, that could be very dangerous.
Yeah. Wow, Cincinnati, I didn't even think of that.
Cincinnati would be wild in that scenario. What else do we got?
That would be crazy.
I'm trying to think of fun ones, like the guys that we're not constantly hearing about. I know Sale has been put out there, but teams are definitely going to shy away from the fact that he got hurt again. He's been out for a little bit of time. You know, what do they do there?
What about Seth Lugo?
Where do I like Seth Lugo?
I mean, he could work on the Mets again too.
Yeah.
Boston as well?
Boston I like. I like him in Boston. I see that being a thing. Chicago? Cubs? Seth Lugo?
Not a bad look.
I don't hate it.
What about back to San Diego?
Nah.
Try to get some pitching depth.
I don't see that one. I have another one that's good.
Well, the Giants.
If they're gonna go pitching,
Like you said, Verlander's been eh.
They need somebody on the other end.
So maybe Lugo comes in.
Lugo would be a nice piece for the Giants. Yeah, that's a nice one. I have a fun one that you guys have been linked to forever.
Or even Toronto. Toronto, Seth Lugo.
Yeah. See him in a Toronto uniform.
They need somebody.
Yeah, they need another guy.
They need another pitcher.
They absolutely need another guy. This is another guy. He's been linked to you guys for the last like two seasons. I've been saying it for a long time. It makes perfect sense. Ryan McMahon, Colorado. Do they finally trade him away?
Yes, but not to the Yankees.
So is that a Brewers move?
Potentially. If the Yankees do it, I'm not going to be happy.
Really?
Strikes out way too much.
He does. Suarez has his games too.
Yes, but he hits 30 home runs, and he's a right-handed bat. I don't think the Yankees need another left-handed bat.
No, and it's unfortunate. I feel like he would have fit perfectly with you guys within the last two seasons when he's been linked, and it didn't happen. But
I don't want to say I'll be mad, but the strikeout rate is just not what we need right now, going into a playoff push.
I know he's been sort of linked to the Mets. He's made some public statements that have pretty much have said, hey, this guy's going to probably be out of here. If that's the case, is it a reunion with the Mets? I don't think so. Luis Severino.
Oh, no. Stay away from him.
No. As good as he was last year, I just...
Is he going to put you over the top? Ask yourself that question.
No, he's not.
So then, what are we talking about?
To me, he's not. He's had his success here. I don't really like the length, the money. It's going to tie up you know, listen, the Mets could get away with practically probably giving up nothing to eat the rest of that contract from the Athletics. So as far as that goes, if maybe they strike out everywhere else, if asking prices are too high for the Kellys and the Mitch Kellers and Joe Ryan, I could see that being like a plan F, H.
I don't see Steve Cohen going back to that. I really think he's going to
go, I hope not,
balls to the wall for a starter that isn't Severino. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think he's a crazy backup plan. That they would, again, to me, they would have to strike out everywhere. No Lugo, none of these guys, no Ryan, nothing, and end up with Severino.
I could see Severino to the Reds.
Are they going to eat that money?
If they give enough prospects, maybe Oakland could eat most of the money.
Yeah.
It's a tit-for-tat game. What am I going to give you? What are you going to give me? If you give me more of something, I'll give you less of this. That's how it works.
So
if they eat the money, it's because they got more prospects.
I have another potential fun one.
Sacramento, whatever the hell you want to call
them. Not doing that.
The A's.
I know I've brought them up that they're sort of right there, the Angels, but are they going to move on from somebody? If that's the case, Taylor Ward, who could use him? Where does he go? That's a wild one. I
can see Taylor Ward in Houston.
That's dangerous.
I know, in division. But it's not a. It's not a huge name. Big names aren't going to go to division rivals. That's how I think of it.
You're going to hate what I'm going to say to this one.
Red Sox.
No. Dodgers. I think they go get a pitcher and they make a statement on offense.
I think they go for a pitcher more than offense.
But they're going to get some guys back. They just got Glass now. Otani's been starting to throw. They're going to get Snell back at some point. Yeah, I don't say they're desperate for top of the line.
No.
I could see
Severino more. Severino would be nice there.
If they're going to eat the salary, maybe. Wow. I could see more. They really can. Well, his salary is not deferred, I don't think.
They could defer if they wanted to.
Maybe they'll figure something out. But I could see a back end of the rotation type guy for maybe the Dodgers. And
like a Lugo.
I could see a Taylor. Well, Lugo.
Mitch Keller.
Yeah, and then I could see a Taylor Ward. I would hate it.
Because the way that happens is that the Dodgers give up top prospects. Then you'll see them trade within the National League.
I think moving on from Conforto is, they desperately want to do that. He's been hot. Maybe they could swap him. Yeah, something. I mean, he's on a one-year deal. It's not that crazy. But it annoys me that I just see that. I don't know why. I see him with the Dodgers, and it aggravates me because that would be...
It's not a bad look.
That would be a huge piece for them. That would make a huge statement on offense. Not that they need to make that statement, but...
Well, he'd be like the Chris Taylor with power.
Yeah.
Taylor Ward.
Yeah, that'd be dangerous, so... I see that one being kind of wild in that aspect, and
that's an interesting play right there.
That could be maybe one of those not so. Because listen, he does not get the love he deserves, in my opinion. Even the Cubs, maybe. Did the Cubs go for it?
I feel like the Cubs
maybe
need
the Phillies.
Help.
Maybe the Phillies. Ugh.
Oh, that would suck for you guys.
Yeah, it really would. Taylor Ward's going to be a very interesting guy. I feel like he's going to be one of those that shouldn't be as under-the-radar move as it could be, but people are going to look past it to an extent.
What about a guy like Ryan O'Hearn?
Where does he fit?
Astros.
Ugh.
I hate saying it.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
I hate saying it.
Yeah, that really does make sense. Him and Mullins.
Ugh.
Both of those guys make perfect sense for Houston.
It would now what about
but now
Boston?
They're going to go left-handed heavy again. And oh no, they don't have any lefties in their lineup. Really, it's just Alvarez.
That's true.
O'Hearn and Mullins, that would be perfect for them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's bad. You don't want to see that. That's bad.
Or maybe Seattle. If they
Seattle's a nice. I like that. Yeah, O'Hearn in Seattle. I like that. They need another bat.
They've been needing a bat for 5 years.
I know.
Since Griffey left. They needed a bat.
Maybe they'll ask Griffey to come out of retirement.
Yeah. Jay Buhner and Edgar Martinez. They just signed the minor league deals.
Well,
yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I could see Ryan O'Hearn getting dealt. I could see, if they don't get Mullins, I could see Houston being SOBs and getting Hearn. Really going to my skin.
Yeah, I could see that being a thing. Well, listen, I'll tell you this. We are going to dive into this a lot deeper, and obviously in the coming weeks leading up to the deadline. There will be another episode focused on this. We're going to really dive into this.
And especially when guys, all these guys go to teams that we didn't even pick.
Right. That's definitely going to happen.
Twisted, a full 180 turn, and the Mets get Shohei Ohtani somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Gabe is probably having a heart attack.
God. That was good. That would be hysterical, but that's never going to happen.
Straight for Rafael Devers.
Wow. Wow.
Awesome. MLB The Show.
Yeah, type really. Traits. Really. Listen, guys out there, we've thrown some names at you, some potential destinations. Like I said, we're going to get further into this as we get closer to the deadline. We're definitely going to recap some of the deals that eventually do happen in the coming weeks. I think this is going to be fun. I think there's a lot of teams that all need the same stuff, and I don't think there's enough of it. So we're going to see how desperate teams get and, you know, how heavy they're willing to go.
For me, I think it's going to be the prices are going to get driven up so high, and there's going to be so many teams that back off and go to Plan B. So I think we're going to see more Plan B being executed rather than a lot of teams' Plans A, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely see that being a thing. But guys, let us know. Maybe there's someone we missed. Maybe somebody you guys think you see in a different uniform. Or maybe a guy that should be traded but doesn't get traded. Because there's always that one guy that it's like, why didn't you, what are you doing? You know, why didn't you move this guy? So we'll see how this all plays out. But before we go, as usual, we have our trivia question. We thought it should be, you know, be a little festive with the, obviously with the weekend, with the break. All-Star Game, Home Run Derby stuff. So I saw this actually on TikTok this morning, and maybe some of you have seen it. If you have, if you haven't, either way, I really like this question. Who is the only father-son duo to both win the Home Run Derby? I love this question. I really do. I love this question.
It really is great, and it's so funny because I actually got it when you asked me.
Yeah.
But there was another question that you asked me, and I couldn't get it. And yeah. It was a lot easier than this one.
It was the other question. You know what? Why not? We got the break. We'll give you two.
Oh, look at that.
Why not? Let's go for two. Awesome. Honestly, I did love both questions, and I'm glad you brought it up. So
I like that.
We'll give you a little All-Star Game bonus and maybe an apology for the second hiatus. So we'll give you two trivia questions on this episode.
Go for it.
Who is the last player to win the Home Run Derby that is no longer active? So the most recent guy to win the Home Run Derby that is no longer active. This is a really fun one. Completely overlooked. I did the same thing when I was trying to answer it, and you did. You went the same path that I did.
Took me like five or six times.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. That was a little surprise at the end. You got two trivia questions to answer, so we expect double the comments. That's what that means.
Please.
I mean, you know, we give a little, you give a little, you know? So, guys, listen, as always, we love doing this. We love hearing your feedback. We love seeing some of the frustration in the trivia questions. Guys, like always, thanks for hanging out with us.